This is a Hot Pie original.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the DMP CD Sports Podcast presented by Oddshark. I am Chad Fisher alongside my co-host, Mr. Tony Farmer.
Chad, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good, man. I'm excited because we got an awesome guest. As usual, we always got great guests on here. But this is a guest that everyone's going to be interested to hear from because he is a Lakers beat writer. He writes for Lakers Nation, Trevor Lane, awesome reporter. And the Lakers are a very polarizing team. They always are, especially this year. They didn't really live up to expectations. They had some injuries. There was a little bit of drama in the locker room. You know, we'll talk about this with Trevor, but Markieff Morris kind of said in his exit interview, interview with the media, he said that there was some selfishness on that team and that there was people weren't seeing eye to eye. So we want to get the inside scoop from Trevor and see what he says, what he thinks. He's been covering this team for a long time and he's a senior writer for Lakers Nation. So it's going to be awesome.
Really this is going to be an awesome show. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this all day.
I've been looking forward to this since we booked this guy. When I contacted him and he said that he wanted to get on the show, I was immediately just super excited about that. And he might not have come on if the Lakers got ousted. If they didn't get ousted early, so he might have been too busy for us
that's
or something. But there's so much information to get to because this is a team that's in flux. They got a lot of moving parts coming into the season. They've got a lot of free agents. They've got they got Anthony Davis, who was not healthy this year, and LeBron wasn't healthy this year now either. This is 2 out of 3 years with the Lakers that his season has ended in injury, not ended in injury, but he's been plagued by injuries throughout his season. And so it's going to be interesting to get the insider's perspective and see what the Lakers are going to do, what's on their mind, how they're going to change this team, because obviously they're not going to stand pat. They got a lot of moving parts and they got to upgrade that roster if they're going to go for championship number 18.
Yeah. And good point about, you know, the Lakers loss might be our gain. I feel very fortunate to have him on the show. But before we talk to him, why don't you tell the folks about one of our favorite sponsors, Chad?
Yes, I definitely will, brother. Oddshark. Oddshark is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, the hottest sports news and detailed matchup picks. Looking for statistics and trends for an upcoming game? Oddshark has that too. And the best thing is that it's absolutely free.
Yeah. So if you want to get a better understanding of the odds and the math behind the numbers, how are lines set? Why do lines move during the week in the NFL, for instance? Oddshark will give you all the tools that you need. They're a proven industry powerhouse. They have access to info from around the globe, giving you the chance to access the best sports odds on the planet. Whether you want to check out tonight's odds, this week's hockey or basketball trends, maybe you want to look at the future markets or anything in between, head on over to Oddshark and start thinking like a shark today.
Yeah, and that's OddsShark.com. Check out some of their articles on there too, man, because they got great articles breaking down any big upcoming event. They're going to have an article on there to give you a little bit a better understanding of what's going on, what to anticipate, what to expect, and everything like that. A go-to resource for the DMP CD Sports Podcast because we love them, not just because they sponsor the show, but it's an awesome resource, man. We were going there before they sponsored the show. We were going to Oddshark.
It's free. You're silly not to. They're doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you.
A great point. Is they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you. They're giving you. They're doing all that, going sifting through all that information, breaking down the odds. Telling you which way things are going to trend, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times opening lines are going to change a little bit.
Yeah, and if you're new to betting, you can also use that site to get your bonuses so that you can do some online sports betting by getting their bonuses, which is really helpful as well. But speaking of boxing, man, we just had a fight pretty recently that got a little bit of media attention and people talking on Twitter, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. The Logan Paul and was it Logan Paul? Dude, I forget. I get these efforts missed up. I said efforts just now. You can tell I'm a dad. I'll just straight up say I get these motherfuckers mixed up sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that was a hilarious
YouTube
fight.
Star.
Yeah, it was Logan Paul. But it was hilarious, man, because I totally talked so much shit about this fight. It was like, dude, I'm not watching it. And I made fun of it on our Twitter account. Like, there's someone that said, like, who you got? And I said, I got who's not dumb enough to pay for this shit. But I'll be honest, my dumb ass was sitting on Twitter refreshing the whole fucking fight. Like, what's going on, man?
Who's you got sucked in?
Oh, dude, I'm a jackass, man. I think my girlfriend and I, we were getting ready for bed. And I was like, she was like doing her thing or whatever. And I'm like, let me just check and see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Well, something crazy happens and he gets he gets knocked out or something like that. Because you never know what's going to happen in boxing. You know, someone can slip a punch in or something like that. Who knows?
It was a polarizing fight, especially because of their backgrounds of these two guys. And so it made for some fun banter, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be honest, man. Floyd Mayweather is a guy that I've always liked, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm just like, you know, with him, with the McGregor and everything like that. And the fact that he didn't knock out Logan Paul, I thought was kind of messed up. I'm kind of like, dude, this guy's like, I mean, yeah, he's jacked. Like, this dude is in great shape, but he's not a boxer and he hasn't been doing this for 30 or 40 years like Floyd has, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
you were surprised he didn't.
I was definitely surprised that he didn't knock him out.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed too. I'm like, dude, come on, man. What the hell? You're supposed to be one of the best fighters of all time. And I know you're a little dude, you know, but for crying out loud, man, you should be able to slip one in there and knock this dude out.
Yeah.
And maybe the joke's on us, man, because Floyd showed a picture of like all the money that he won from that day. I think he won I think he got $30 million just on his shorts, man. Just on who was on the shorts.
Did you do any betting on that particular boxing match?
No, I didn't, man, but the odds were crazy and everything like that. Oddshark had they were all over the place and everything, but they had odds for, you know, if he's going to knock him out in the first round, all this stuff. That'd have been like a good number to get on too, you know what I'm saying? At some places he was minus 5,000. You know what I'm saying? To knock him out in the first round and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. But you could have won some money, you know what I'm saying? If you wanted to, Logan Paul was, for a knockout or a TK only, he was plus 500, you know? So it was crazy, man. I'm gonna be honest. I would say if Floyd does fight again, just bet that it's going to like go the distance, because that dude's not knocking anybody out. He's very elusive. Kind of dicks around in the ring and stuff, you know. He's just always like running around and shit. Can't really hit him. I'll be honest with him. He's probably one of the most elusive fighters I've ever seen. But he's just not that exciting, man. I'm gonna be honest. He's just not an extremely exciting boxer, man.
But you were still refreshing Twitter, though. In fairness,
every every couple minutes, man. I'm like, after every round, I'm like, all right, that round's got to be over, man. What's going on? You know?
Yeah.
Hitting up Dan Rafel on Twitter and everything like that. Yeah, I was way too interested in it. I shouldn't have been as interested. I'd be like a fool. At least I didn't pay the money for it. I could have gotten an illegal stream of it, but I'm a dad, dude. I was going to bed. I think I ended up going to bed in like the sixth round. I was like, I'll figure it out in the morning. I'm not going to watch this shit.
All right, Chad, you got any good matchups on Oddshark right now for boxing matches that are coming up?
Yeah, so this Saturday, we've got Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos Jr.
What's the line there?
Yeah, so you go to Oddshark. And it's spread out, man. So it's anywhere from minus 950 for Teofimo all the way up to minus 1429. It's a big difference, man.
Big favorite, though.
950, yeah, huge favorite. And Kambosos is plus 600, plus 700, plus 850, plus 675, plus 525. So it's a big difference there, too.
Yeah.
On a bunch of different sites there. Obviously, you know,
shop around. Yeah, dude. Make sure you shop around for the best line. And maybe you want to get crazy with that.
Yeah, maybe you want to get crazy and throw down $20 or $50 on Cambo. You never know what can happen.
Who knows?
Stranger things have happened. Right?
Indeed.
Yeah. So
for sure.
Head on over to Oddshark. Check out all the information that they have there on. You know, right now is a good time to bet on some baseball. You know, this is getting to be a great time. It's June baseball. This is when things are heating up. Hopefully, the offenses will heat up a little bit, because the league-wide batting average has been terrible. I think it's at 234 last I checked, which is atrocious. So hopefully with the warmer weather comes a little bit more scoring, especially for my Indians, man. We could use it. I think we're the bottom like fourth or fifth in terms of runs this year. So hopefully the hotter weather will help us wake those bats up a little bit too.
Yeah, and NBA playoffs too. Yeah. You know, we're going to ask Trevor, you know, at the end of the interview who he likes in the NBA finals. So maybe you want to kind of ride his prediction a little bit and throw some money down if you're interested.
Yeah, I would. But let's go ahead and get to our interview right now. Okay, our guest today is a senior writer for the extremely popular LakersNation.com. They have nearly 650,000 followers on Twitter and over 3.1 million on Facebook. He's also the host of the Lakers Nation podcast, and he covers the LA Galaxy. We're super excited to have him on the show today. Please welcome to the DMP CD Sports Podcast, Trevor Lane. Trevor, thanks for coming on the show, brother. We really appreciate it. Lots to get to today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks so much for having me. And I don't cover the Galaxy professionally, just a fan. Oh, so I had to put them in my Twitter bio.
Okay, there you go.
But yes, I do spend all my time covering the Lakers.
Oh, tough job, man, out there in LA, just watching basketball. That's awesome, brother. Trevor, first things first, you have a daughter and you're a youth sports coach. I want to know, like, what sports do you coach, and what are the chances that you're going to hang up your laptop sometime soon, get up your credentials so you can be like a high school softball coach or something like that? Can we be seeing you in some Daisy Duke stretchy pants and a clipboard spitting out sunflower seeds?
it's actually the other way around. I hung up doing all that so that I could do this full time. Yeah, I was in a previous life. I was a teacher, and I coached pretty much all the sports for the school that I taught at. So I coached soccer, I coached basketball, volleyball, football, track and field, but I coached just about everything. And so that was the youth sports side of things in my bio and all of that. So I haven't been able to do that now that I'm full time just on Lakers. I'm not coaching at this point, just focusing on covering purple and gold.
Yeah, you just hang out behind the home base in the stands and just yell at the umpire. That's what I would do, man. What the hell's wrong with you?
That has happened. I have been ejected from a game or two in my time, but fortunately, nice. I don't have to do that anymore.
Jeez, that's awesome, dude. That's so cool. Trevor, I just want to give you a little bit of background on me that I think will help us with the interview here a little bit. So I'm from Mansfield, Ohio. I grew up about 45 minutes away from LeBron, and I'm 6 months older than him. We played in some of the same summer leagues and everything like that, and I knew guys that played against him a lot. I had friends that played against him a lot in high school and everything like that. And then when he went on to play for the Cavaliers, I was a sports writer for the Cavaliers for a little bit, for a couple of years. So I was in the locker room and everything like that. And so I have a little bit of familiarity with LeBron, but I want to ask you something that everyone seems to talk about every single year. When is LeBron going to start to show a decline? We saw that he did have an injury this year, but when do you think that'll happen where we start to see a statistical decline in his game?
You know, statistically, it's incredible the way you can watch a game and you're going, LeBron's kind of having an off night tonight. And then you look at the box score and you're like, geez, he's got a triple double.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's just what winds up happening. I mean, mess around and get a triple double is pretty much it's LeBron.
Yeah.
So statistical decline, I don't know, but you've seen a definite decline in terms of the athleticism. We're starting to see that where he's relying a bit more on the jumper, which all of the, you know, basketball stars have had to do as their careers went on. But we're seeing more of a reliance on the jumper. He's having to use the mental side of his game quite a bit more. So I think we're starting to see that physical decline, and the injuries are starting to pop off, right? Two of the three seasons he's been with the Lakers have ended with injury, or effectively ended with an injury. So I think that's becoming a bigger factor as well. But when he's healthy, he's still one of the best. I think if he stayed healthy, he was probably going to win the MVP award this season. Mm-hmm. It seemed like that was the way things were going. And then unfortunately, Solomon Hill rolled up on his ankle, and that was that for his MVP campaign. But I don't know, man. Father Time's undefeated. At some point, it's going to really kick in. But I know fans in LA are keeping their fingers crossed and hoping that he continues to perform at a high level for at least a few more seasons.
He is one of those guys that I watched so much of his career. You know, I'm a big Cleveland Cavaliers fan. I always have league pass, watch probably 80 to 90% of the games. And there are so many games when you're like, oh, LeBron's having an off night. And I check the box score. He's got 26-8-8 or something. You're like, dude, what the hell? Where are this guy? He's only, you know, he takes 12 shots or something like that to get to that 26. Very efficient player.
He makes it look easy.
Yeah, he does. He does. He really does.
For sure. Hey, what went wrong this year with the Lakers? You know, was it just injuries? Was the roster not a good fit? I mean, how do you kind of explain this season?
Yeah, and just to add to that, in the season closing interview, Markieff Morris like flat out said that there was a problem in the locker room, that everyone wasn't on the same page, and that there was some selfishness in the locker room. Do you know, do you have, obviously I want to put you on the spot, but do you think that you know some of the guys that he's referencing there?
I don't, but I do think that it's interesting that, you know, when you look at this season, it's the injuries and then the chemistry compared to last season. That's kind of what became the failure of the season. I mean, first and foremost, it was the injuries all season long. We were saying, I can't even tell you how many times I said it. In a week, when this guy comes back, okay, then we're going to really see what this team is. Oh, no, wait, now somebody else is hurt. All right, in 3 weeks, when that guy comes back, then we're going to know what the Lakers are. Mm. We never got that. And that's why every single player, with the exception of a few, said, let's run it back because we don't know how good this team can be. We never got to see the full team out there. At one point, we got to, okay, if they can just be healthy for the playoffs, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
And we thought we were there, and then more injuries hit in the playoffs, and that was the end of that. So the injuries, I think, if we're going to, you know, piece out the blame pie, if you will, the injuries are getting the biggest piece. But then from there, you do have some other things. The chemistry was certainly a factor. We didn't see chemistry like we did the season before when they won a championship. Very different circumstance, though, right? Yeah. These guys, they had about roughly 20 practices the entire season. Like from December to the end of the season, they had about 20 practices total because of COVID and everything else that's going on in the compressed schedule. They couldn't really get on the practice floor together. So developing that chemistry, that camaraderie, that element wasn't there. And maybe that you know, a little bit of selfishness that you referenced, maybe that creeped in a bit. And that can be a bigger factor when you have guys who just haven't been together as much as they normally would be. And then the other, you know, on the court, the biggest, most glaring thing that led to the Lakers ouster of the playoffs was the three-point shooting. I mean, yep. The Suns were daring them to shoot threes, just five guys in the paint every single time on defense, asking the Lakers to beat them from behind the arc, and the Lakers couldn't do it. They kept shooting high 20s in three-point percentage, and that simply will not get it done. So you've got that combination of elements that kind of led to the ultimate failure of the season.
And you alluded to it there. How confident are you that Anthony Davis can stay healthy long enough for the Lakers to win another championship? He's been really injury prone throughout his career. Last year seemed to be kind of the exception when he was healthy in the bubble. Do you think that he can help bring another championship to LA?
Yeah, I do. You know, one of my colleagues at Lakers Nation, Ron Gutterman, did a little bit of research on it and found out that over his career, AD has played in 81% of his games.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Only, he's lost 19% to injury, which is more than you would think.
Yeah.
He's got this label of being crazy, you know, injury prone. In the past few seasons, he's been pretty bulletproof. You know, he's played 75 plus games in most of his recent seasons, I think in four of the last four seasons, excluding this one. And what AD said after everything was said and done, he said the issue was, it was indeed the quick turnaround, that what happened was normally he spends the first month of the season or after the season just resting, just recover, heal, that's it. And then after that, 6 weeks to build everything back up, just strength training, just weights, building himself back up so that his body is ready for that. They got, before they had to start training camp, they had about 30 days between winning a championship and then getting back to training camp. So obviously he didn't get to do that. He didn't get to do all the pre-work that he would normally do heading into the season. So in that sense, it's not necessarily a surprise that he suffered this many injuries. But he does still have that history too. So is this going to be the outlier in the last few seasons where he was relatively healthy are the norm? Or is it this season is a reflection of the seasons from earlier in his career and he's going to be injury prone moving forward? There have been a number of former players that have come forward, including Robert Horry, former Laker, saying Anthony Davis needs to change it, change his offseason regime, change his everything that he's doing, right? And figure, they said, fire his trainer. Charles Barkley was getting on his case. So is he going to do something different this offseason? We'll have to wait and see. I think it's too early to say, oh, he just can't stay healthy because of all of these factors that happened this particular season. But man, I got to tell you, it's certainly scary every time he hits the floor. That's for sure.
It definitely is.
You know, with everything that you mentioned so far, knowing that, I mean, you know this team better than 99% of people on the planet, probably. I'm curious what you think this offseason is going to look like. And then if the answer is different, what do you think it should look like? If you were the GM, would you do anything different than you predict they might do?
I mean, it's hard to predict. Well, here's the thing. Last offseason, we thought, okay, they won a championship. They're going to run it back. Everybody's going to come back. Nope. There was huge turnover. They got rid of Rondo and JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard and on and on, and instead brought in new guys. They said, we don't want to be complacent. We want to go out there and actually improve the team. And now that they've lost and you've got fans that are screaming to the heavens, burn this, tear it all down and get rid of everybody except for LeBron and Anthony Davis and rebuild this thing. You've got Rob Pelinka coming out and saying this was external factors. We think we had a championship team here, but it was the injuries. It was the compressed schedule. It was all these other things that prevented them from being what we thought they could be. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch what they do. They do have, it's something ridiculous, like 10 free agents and restricted free agents. So
wow.
There's going to be change. But the big question is, who's going to come back? Who are they going to really prioritize bringing back? And then from there, can they target enough shooting to make up for this glaring weakness that we had this season? So I think there is going to be change, but maybe not as much as some fans right now would like to see.
Do you agree or disagree with that notion that this is a championship caliber team if you get rid of the injuries and the drama, et cetera?
I disagree based on what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Right? Based on what we're seeing right now over in the Eastern Conference with the Brooklyn Nets, based on what we're seeing with the Suns. When you watch the way these teams are shooting the basketball, I don't know that we've ever seen anything like this.
Wow. Mm.
And personally, I'm wondering if this is the tipping point. For years, we've been saying defense wins championships. Mm. That's been the adage forever. But for years, we've seen the NBA pushing against that. The NBA has been creating more and more rules in order to benefit the offensive player, in order to open up offenses. And at the same time, you've got the skill level that keeps going up. We've got guys that are shooting threes from practically half court now and can make those. So defenses are more spread out now than ever before. So have we now hit the tipping point where offense wins championships and defense isn't as important? The Brooklyn Nets might be on their way towards proving that. And if that's the case, and the NBA is a copycat league, and you've got a Lakers team that's built around defense first, they could be behind the times. And so I think there are more changes needed in order to get up to speed with that in terms of being aggressive and going after the kinds of guys who can play the more modern style and not putting so much emphasis on the defensive end of the floor. But we'll see how this all plays out. I don't know if this is just going to be one blip on the radar year or if this is a sign of things to come and the way it's going to go for the future.
So, What type of assets do you think they have to change the roster? You mentioned that they have 10 free agents, so I'd assume that they have a little bit of cap space and everything. Is Kyle pretty much one of the only guys that they could dangle for possible trade bait?
Well, I mean, they actually have no cap space. They'll still be an over-the-cap team just with – they'll have Kuzma's contracts on the books, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, LeBron, Anthony Davis. They still have Luol Deng's cap hit sitting on their books as well. So they still do not have cap space. So that's why for them, the name of the game is going to be retaining as many free agents as they can, because if they've got their bird rights, they can go over the cap to bring those guys back. But in terms of assets, they'll have the 22nd pick in the draft, which, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the Lakers don't have any draft picks. They actually have their first round pick in five of the next seven seasons. They just don't have that many that they can actually put in trade offers because of the Stepien rule and the way all that works out and the way their trade with the Pelicans went down. But they do have a number of first round picks that are tradable after they make the selection.
Okay.
So that's the case with this year's pick.
Mm.
They have the 22nd pick in the draft. So I imagine that's something that will come up in trade talks. Mm-hmm. Kyle Kuzma and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope both making right around $13-ish million. Those guys are probably their most tradable assets. If you wanted to do a sign and trade, you can talk Dennis Schroeder, you can talk Talen Horton Tucker, but most likely you're looking at the first round pick, Kuzma, KCP. Those are the types of pieces. Obviously, you wouldn't be getting a star for that or anything, but it is something to work with. I don't know who you could go out there and land at this point, but they're not completely void of assets. Mm.
Andre Drummond started 27 games last season. Do you think he's going to be back? And do you think he was a good fit with the Lakers?
I think it all depends on the price. You know, Drummond was, and we just heard this the other day from Mark Stein, was that Andre Drummond had an agreement with the Lakers, had a deal that in exchange for him coming to them on the buyout market, he got the starting job. That was part of him joining the team, which we assumed. We assumed that was the case, but that was confirmation that indeed was the agreement with him. I think we saw flashes, and Drummond himself mentioned this, that there were some flashes with him and Anthony Davis, but they never really got in sync. They never got completely up to speed. So it's hard to say if Drummond will be back or not. Rob Pelinka likes him a lot. Rob was his former agent a few years ago.
I didn't know that.
And so that, I think that matters.
Mm-hmm.
But the price tag matters too. The Lakers aren't going to have much money to go spend. And if they have to dip into their exception in order to go and bring back Drummond, is that really the way you want to use your assets in the modern NBA to get a traditional big man? You're probably better off going out there and looking for a wing player or a guard, given the way the league is going, and not allocating too much money towards the center position. It's kind of like the running back now in NFL,
where
if you're spending too much money on a center that can't shoot threes, that's going to be a problem for you in terms of building out your roster. So I think it really depends on the number, where that all comes out at. But, you know, Anthony Davis also had a comment where he feels like he can play next to any center. So I don't think they're locked into bringing him back. I think they would like to, but it's going to depend on what else is out there for him offer-wise and if there's a workable deal there. And if not, I think they'll move on.
You said that you're super high on THT, Talen Horton-Tucker, and that the Lakers can make him restricted. Do you think they will, or will he be? Is he someone that's eligible to be dangled for trade bait as well?
No, I think they'll definitely make him restricted. Yeah. And if they weren't high on him, they would have pulled the trigger on that Kyle Lowry trade earlier in the season, which was going to be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Dennis Schroeder, who's got his own contractual situation going on there. He'll be a free agent. And THT for Lowry, and there could have been picks involved. You know, we don't know those details, but they are very, very high on Talen Horton-Tucker. They believe in him. They believe in his talent. He's still a very young player. He's just 20. He doesn't turn 21 until November.
Yeah.
So young player, incredible physical profile, 6'4 with a 7'1 wingspan, got the ability to handle the basketball. Certainly has his flaws, but they believe in him moving forward. So I would imagine unless they get an offer that really, you know, just bowls them over, he'll be back. He is protected by something called the Gilbert Arenas provision, or that's how we tend to know it. And that makes it so opposing teams can't offer more than a mid-level exception, essentially, to THT, which would allow the Lakers to retain him and not just be priced out of bringing him back. So it's a situation where I think the Lakers can and will do what they need to do in order to keep him around, unless they get, just like I said, some crazy offer.
He got the LeBron seal of approval over the last few years. LeBron has talked about how good of a player he thinks he can be. Do you see him being a contributor next year? You said he's only 20 years old, and that's a lot to ask for a 21-year-old to be coming into a situation with two big-time veterans like LeBron and AD. But can he be a contributor next year? Because obviously that would go a long way, and then being able to save some money, one, and then also bring along someone that they've had in the organization for a couple of years.
Well, he's not just somebody who's got LeBron support. LeBron found him.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron found him in a gym and called up Rich Paul and said, hey, you need to look at this kid. Wow. And that's what got THT onto the map. LeBron seeing him in a gym. And so that kind of got the ball rolling for him. So, yeah, there's definitely that connection there. I do think he can be a contributor next year. A lot of people are talking about, hey, you know, if Dennis Schroeder leaves, if he goes somewhere else in free agency, maybe the Knicks or wherever, can THT be the team's starting point guard? And I think it's probably a little too early for him to make that leap, to ask him to do that. But, you know, everything we've heard from people who would know, who are close to him, is that he's everything that you would want in terms of the work ethic. He's very humble. He understands exactly what his role is on the team. He knows what he needs to do. He understands the flaws in his game and what he needs to work on and what he needs to fix. So, you know, they're very high on him for the future. But to ask him to be a starter on a championship caliber team at 21, it might be a bit of a stretch, but I think he will get there sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so we talked about Andre Drummond. Marc Gasol was in the news a lot this year. He was definitely unhappy with his role on the team. Can the front office and coaching staff patch that up? Do they want to, or do you think he'll be somewhere else next year?
I'm kind of wondering if he's done.
Yeah.
If he's done.
Out the league, you mean?
That's really the first decision. Does he want to play?
Yeah.
The speculation when Gasol signed was, you know, why was it so important to get a second year at a veteran minimum rate? Like, he could get that
anywhere.
Anyway, he can get that whenever he wants. And if he had done that, if he had just taken a one-year deal, the Lakers wouldn't have had to trade JaVale McGee or anything to free up cap space in order to bring in Marc Gasol. So why go through all of that? Why jump through all of those hoops just so he can get a second year at a veteran minimum? And the general thought, again, this is just speculation, but was that Gasol wanted the second year as kind of a parting gift, right? Like, hey, I'm going to play one more year and then I'm probably going to go retire and then I'll get that veteran minimum as kind of like a retirement package here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the case. There was discussion about him maybe asking out when Andre Drummond got brought in and it was clear he was going to lose the starting job and maybe looking to go somewhere else. He's talked about how much it meant to him, you know, playing for the Lakers organization because everything his brother did there. But, you know, it obviously wasn't the year that he was hoping for or the Lakers were hoping for out of him. And the first hurdle to figure out is, does he play another season? And then from there, does he want to be with the Lakers? I would imagine if he says he doesn't, he He's only on a veteran minimum contract. They'll probably do whatever they can to get him, you know, wherever it is he wants to go.
Hey, Tony, let's take a quick second to tell people about one of our other sponsors for the show.
Yeah, 1740 Beard Balm. This is one of their products right now. This is actually their signature product, their Beard Balm. So if you've got a dry, big old beard and you want to groom it and make it look better, this is an awesome product for you. But they don't just do Beard Balm. They've got chapstick, they've got beard soap, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So definitely check out their website.
Yeah, definitely get some of that beard soap, man, because I see a lot of people walking around Austin, you know what I'm saying, with them nasty, scraggly-ass beards. You can tell they got, like, some chicken wings, maybe some pho in their beard and shit. Man, you need to wash that shit out, dude. You can't just be washing your hair, skipping the beard. That's a big part of your face, especially some of these goofballs that, you know, got these super long beards. Dude, wash that shit, man. It gets stanky. You know what I'm saying? You come up talking to me and I can smell your beard, I'm definitely walking away.
No doubt, man. Sometimes you think someone's got bad breath and it's actually the beard that's smelling.
It's like, oh, dude, he's got, like, a piece of olive in his fucking from 4 days ago in there. He's like, dude, I haven't had a salad in a week. You're like, dude, that's fucking gross. Wash that shit from time to time.
That's right, folks. So 1740 Beard Balm, check him out.
The last question about a big man here, Montrezl Harrell. He has a player option for next season. Do you think he'll exercise that, or would he be potentially looking to go somewhere else to have maybe a bigger role, would they have to promise him a different role on the team next year?
I feel for Trez. You know, he's in a tough spot. This is 2 years in a row now, right? Yeah. We're heading into a potential free agent year where the playoffs were not kind to him. I mean, we saw him buried on the bench here in the playoffs and towards the end of the season once Andre Drummond arrived. And before that, you know, you look at the month of March and Trez was putting up 20-8.
Yeah.
He was basically leading the team with LeBron and Anthony Davis out. And then done. He was not part of the rotation. He didn't seem like he was part of the plan anymore. I would be surprised if he picked up that second year, but I don't know if he's going to get a bigger offer just given the way the season ended for him. I don't know how big of an impact that's going to have, but I would not be surprised if Trez just says, look, you know, this didn't work out. The organization didn't give me the opportunity down the stretch. I'm going to go somewhere else and find some other place that's going to play me a bit more. So he was one of the few guys who did not say, let's run it back. Right. And I think that's telling.
Yeah.
You know, I would be surprised if he was back next season. And honestly, just with the heart, the hustle that he shows every time he's out there on the floor with what he's done, that's disappointing. But I think it's probably
best for both.
Best for him. And that's going to be the SOP moving forward, that he's just kind of an end of the bench guy. He's probably going to get a better opportunity somewhere else.
Could that be one of the guys that maybe Markieff Morris was referencing? Because we know that when he was with the Clippers the year before, a lot of the guys on the team kind of insinuated that there were bad locker room guys on that team. And they kind of, they had the opportunity, obviously, to re-sign him. They could have. And they kind of like let him walk in a sense. And now this is 2 years in a row on two teams that he's been on. I'm not asking you to say specifically or outright that's him, but it seems like that he's the kind of the common denominator here, because there's two teams in a row that have said there's been locker room problems and he's on his way out on both of those teams.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could be. And just based on his posts on social media, he made it very obvious that he was not happy, and his, you know, his conversations and exit interviews and all that. He doesn't seem like a guy that was super happy out there. So, and understandably, you know, he wasn't getting the opportunity. So I could see where, you know, he might have been that rain cloud in the locker room. But again, there's nothing we can't say for certain. Nobody's naming names on anything like that. Yeah. But you can see, and again, we can empathize with why he would feel frustrated if indeed that was the case.
There's no way Frank Vogel is on the hot seat, right? Or is that possible? And if there's drama in the locker room, how much responsibility does, you know, a coach in an NBA locker room take for that?
You know, I don't think he is, because of the compressed schedule and because of the injuries. Right now, if the Lakers were totally healthy and they didn't have any of these issues and they went in and flamed out in the first round, yes. Yeah, for sure, right? People would be looking at the coach. But because there's these other things, these external factors to look at, I think he's pretty safe. They were looking at extending his contract during the season. They like Frank Vogel. As far as the locker room, it's tough. You know, he's actually done very well at something that can be extremely difficult, and that is empowering all of his players and making sure that every player feels like they have a voice and they will be heard. And it's not him this authoritarian figure that's yelling directions at them. It's a very collaborative process within the Lakers, even in their, even when they're in their meetings, going over the X's and O's when they're in the film room. It's very collaborative. Doing that is great, and it's a great environment for the players, but you still have to maintain that level of some level of authority with the team. And I feel like Coach Vogel has done a really nice job of walking that very, very fine line. But again, it is a fine line. So you can always be on that tipping point where you can lose the locker room too when things aren't going well. I do think the Lakers are committed to him, though, and moving forward. Right now, everybody's looking at it as, hey, it was injuries this season. Next season, we're going to come back and we're going to be a lot better. Now, if there's problems next season and they're healthy, maybe things start to change there. But for right now, I think he's pretty safe.
General manager Rob Pelinka has kind of given him a vote of confidence as well, and said that, kind of insinuated that he wanted to re-sign him as well. And his contract's, he's got another year on his deal, correct? So that'll be interesting. I don't think there's any way that they can let him go after, you know, winning the championship and in the bubble and bringing those superstars together and coalescing and having such a great year. I think they got to give him at least a couple more years to see how that shakes out. But Trevor, I got to ask you the question that's on everyone's mind is, how bad is Space Jam 2 going to be? Because I've seen LeBron act, and I don't have high hopes. I saw previews. I noticed he got that playoff hairline working out for this movie and everything like that. He got the new playoff hairline. But I just want to ask you, like, what are your expectations for this movie and everything?
I am walking into it with zero expectations. I don't know what we're going to see out there. I know he's changing his jersey number to match his Space Jam jersey, going back to number 6. I sure hope the movie isn't bad, because if it is, then it's going to be that constant reminder with him wearing the same jersey number all season long. But no, I hope it's good, but I'm walking into it with zero expectations.
Trevor,
do you have a favorite sports movie of all time?
Favorite sports movie, you think of like The Sandlot, right? That's just
classic.
I think that's the one that I always go back to as one of my all-time favorites. Always enjoy that one. Caddyshack, of course, is up there.
Oh yeah.
That one's a great sports movie. And the Mighty Ducks, right?
Oh yeah.
I forgot about that one.
That's a good one too. But no, there have been so many great sports movies out there. I don't know if Space Jam 2 is going to make it.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to make the top 50.
Yeah. I don't have high hopes for it, man. I'll be honest. If it can be better than the Kyrie's movie, I forget what the hell the name of that was. That was the worst movie I've ever seen. I think me and my girlfriend left early. We're like, nah, dude, this is terrible. I got to ask you this. So, after the Lakers were eliminated from the playoffs in his press conference, LeBron was already talking about Space Jam 2. I'm sure I'm not the only person that took exception to that, that the season just ended. And I know LeBron, he jokes around a little bit here and there, but for him to already be talking about the movie, do you feel like he was at all disinterested this year? The compressed schedule, I understand he's trying to make a repeat and everything like that, but was he thinking too much about, because I think this is a legitimate question. Was he thinking too much about the movie? Because we've heard for years and years, 4 or 5 years, that he's going to make Space Jam 2. And it kind of coincided with him going to LA, going from Cleveland to LA at that time, when the Lakers didn't seem to have too many assets or too many reasons for a player of that caliber to go there at that time. Do you think that it was just a confluence of events with the shortened season and everything like that? Or was LeBron maybe losing a little interest and maybe looking too forward to this movie and all the other things that he wanted to do in Hollywood?
I mean, he made the comment when asked if he was going to play for Team USA that he was going to be playing for the Toon Squad this summer, which is not a surprise. We weren't expecting him to go suit up for Team USA or anything like that. But I think we saw the opposite from LeBron for most of the season. Okay. For most of the season, we saw LeBron locked in. I can't tell you how many times I praised his defensive effort, the way he was rotating out to open shooters, how fired up he was, and then the ankle injury hit.
Okay.
Like I said, I think he was the front runner to win the MVP, and certainly by the national polls, he was indeed the heavy favorite to win MVP, and deservingly, he was performing at an incredible level. And then he hurt his ankle. And I think that took some of the wind out of his sails, because here he was thinking, hey, I'm going to win an MVP award at 36. right? Like this is going to be my season. I'm finally going to get this MVP, or what it would be like fifth MVP award. Mm-hmm. And that's going to, you know, propel me in terms of the greatest of all time conversation. We're going to roll into the playoffs. We're going to, you know, maybe win a championship. And he was really locked in. And then once he got hurt and Anthony Davis had already been hurt and these injuries started to accumulate, that's when it started to weigh on him. And you saw when he came back and he didn't quite have the same burst when he was playing at, you know, 80% or whatever he was at. I think he kind of knew that this was going to be tough sledding in order to win a championship with Anthony Davis hurt, him diminished due to this injury. It was going to be tough. And so I think we saw that a little bit in his body language. There were a few times during the last couple of games against the Suns where LeBron went down on offense, didn't make it back down the court on defense. Oh, yeah. You know, you did see him really putting in that top level effort once it kind of set in, like, hey, this isn't going to happen. So I think the more recent stuff, you saw a little bit of him. I don't know if he was distracted by anything, if it was more just disappointed. But the first part of the season when he was healthy, he was extremely locked in. So it's kind of a tale of two seasons here for him.
Yeah. He wasn't like showing up with wine like he did the 2 years prior or anything like that.
That's
but
right.
He might have been like, hey, man, I'm sorry I'm late. I had acting classes in the Valley. You know, I apologize.
Trevor, you grew up watching the Showtime Lakers and you've been passionate about the organization for a while. Who do you think in your mind is the greatest Laker of all time? And then can you give us a guy who you think is underrated and doesn't get the respect on his name that he deserves?
Sure. I mean, I grew up around the Lakers. The earliest memory I have is of watching the Lakers with my dad. So from being around the team for so long, I say the greatest Laker is Kobe. It's Kobe Bryant. And I grew up as a Magic Johnson fan. Kobe Bryant is, you know, for two decades in purple and gold to do the things that he did, to win five championships, and just beyond that to transcend basketball and mean what he meant and still means to Los Angeles, to Southern California, to the entire world. He's the greatest. He's the greatest Laker ever. You know, so many people have been saying when LeBron first came to town, oh, he'll never be Kobe. You know, people who were not happy about him being in LA. Well, you know, he's never going to be Kobe. Of course not.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be Kobe. You can't replicate two decades in one place. You can't replace that.
Yeah.
Right. So I think Kobe is indeed the greatest Laker of all time in terms of, who's underrated. I mean, there's a lot of people who deserve a lot of credit for everything that this franchise has gone through. I mean, Jerry West certainly deserves a ton of credit for everything that he did in terms of building up the club, bringing in guys like Shaq, like Kobe, getting that kind of foundation set. Elgin Baylor is perennially underrated in terms of his contributions. He was always incredible. So there's a lot of different people that we could point to. I mean, we could even go back to say like George Mikan or somebody like that, the first NBA superstar. But no, if I had to say somebody who's underrated, I think I got to keep going back to Elgin Baylor. I mean, he's just absolutely incredible. And he tends to get overlooked when we think of like the top Lakers. We think Kareem and Shaq and Worthy and Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Kobe, Magic. And then it's like down the road, we kind of get to Elgin. And I think he deserves to be up there in the pantheon of Lakers.
Yeah, I totally agree. We talked about Kobe there. I was in LA the day that Kobe passed away, and it was a super eerie feeling. I was staying in West Hollywood at the time. And the night before, I was at the Comedy Store and saw all the fog roll in. We were up on Sunset. As soon as we got below Sunset, you saw this fog roll in, and that kind of stayed around, you know, and then that was unfortunately one of the reasons why he passed away, we're told later. It was extremely foggy the next day. There was just this quiet in the city that I'd never seen. I'd probably been to LA 20 or 25 times. And I'd never heard it so quiet, so somber and everything like that. Can you tell us a little bit like what that day was like for you? And I know, you know, growing up watching him so much and covering him and everything like that, what it was like for you and what it was like for that city to lose such an iconic player?
Well, so I was, when Kobe got drafted, I was 3 years younger than he was. Mm-hmm. And so I always felt this like this connection, like, oh my gosh, this guy that, you know, could be going to my high school right now is going to the Lakers, mm-hmm. right? And so I've actually written a couple articles comparing the, you know, my generation growing up to Kobe and how he, as he struggled, so did this entire generation of fans. Like he overcame challenges just as we, you know, graduated high school, went through college, all these kinds of things, and Kobe being this constant. So he was definitely a presence throughout my life, throughout a lot of Lakers fans' lives, and somebody who means a lot. That day is, I mean, it's surreal. Even now, I was mentioning the other day, you know, when Vanessa Bryant was up speaking at the Hall of Fame Awards ceremony, like it still feels like Kobe's just going to pop out of the crowd and just walk out. Yeah. Like it still just doesn't feel real. I first found out about it. I was out in my backyard playing with my daughter and my phone went off and I looked and there was a Twitter notification. One of my colleagues at Lakers Nation, Corey Hansford, tweeted something like, oh no, this can't be real. Jeez. And that's very unlike him to tweet something like that. Mm-hmm. He's not very like dramatic like that. And I went, wait, what is happening? Yeah. So I started scrolling real quick. And as soon as it kind of dawned on me, like what was going on, I walked inside and said to my wife, like, hey, like, do you see this? Because she had the news on. And she said, no, what's going on? I said, I think Kobe died. And Jesus. She couldn't believe it. I spent the rest of the afternoon in shock. I had to write something for Lakers Nation. At that point, it took me kind of snapping out of it to actually sit down and get something out and get all of that emotion out into the day. But it's still a surreal moment and one that I think obviously will remain ingrained in Lakers culture forever. The one silver lining I keep going back to is I've never seen so many people in the Lakers fan base lean on each other. So many people, because they're all experiencing the same thing at the same time. So many people reach out to each other and check in on it because everybody knew how much he meant to everybody else. And so just that coming together as a community was very, very cool to see. So that's the one silver lining I keep going back to that I always remember in a positive way from it.
Yeah, you saw the outpouring of support at the Staples Center and everything that was there and all the things that the fans left him and everything. And I heard that Vanessa got everything cobbled together and had it delivered to her house, which is awesome. And she keeps that stuff still to this day.
Oh, wow.
And it's awesome that happened. I remember when it first happened, I was in L.A., and a friend of mine texted me that and I was like, dude, this is like some terrible joke or something.
Everybody was in denial. Yeah. I mean, nationwide. Yeah. It was like, no way.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. Reading a tweet from Kevin Love. He was saying that he was hoping it wasn't true. And then there was like for a little bit, it was trending on Twitter that this was like a hoax or something like that. And I was hoping that's what it was. And at the time people were saying it was a hoax where I was like, all right, well, someone call him, dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's get him on the phone, man. But I remember, I think every sports fan will remember where they were when they found that out. And I remember, I'm not even like a huge, huge Kobe fan. Obviously I love the dude because he meant so much to basketball and he was just a dog, man. He was like, somebody that we'll never see another guy like that. He was of the ilk of Jordan and everything like that. That killer instinct that he didn't give a damn about who he was going up against. You were not his friend. He was going in to kill you, you know. And we'll never see that again. We'll never see that type of player again, I don't think. But everyone will remember where they were. And I remember I had to sit down for a moment when I found out. I had to sit down in a chair and was like, "What the hell, dude?"
Yeah.
Like it took my breath away. And I'm not even a huge, huge Kobe fan or a Lakers fan, you know, but I think everyone will remember that for the rest of their lives, where they were when they found that out.
So you got him at the top of your Laker list. Where does he fit in all time?
Great question.
The all-time greats.
All-time. Gosh, I mean, I haven't gone over the all-time in a while, but I would imagine, and I my knee-jerk reaction would be that he's somewhere in the top five.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
But then you start going through the names, and it's like, who do you not put in?
Right.
No matter what, you're leaving out somebody who's great. But you know, obviously, I've got plenty of personal bias there, and everything. So I would put him securely in my top five. I'm not one of those people that's going to say he's the greatest ever or anything like that, or he's better than Jordan or any of that. But I give a lot of credit to what he did in terms of maximizing his potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've always respected about him and looked up to, is the way that he was able to take his basketball talent, his natural talent, and push that to its furthest limits. We don't look at Kobe and say, oh man, you know, what if he had put in a little bit more? Yeah. There is no little bit more. Yeah. That was a maniac. People say it all the time about Shaq. Like what if he had practiced his free throws a little bit more? What if he had been in a little bit better shape? How could Shaq have really been? Nobody will ever say that about Kobe because he pushed it as far as he possibly could. And so for me, that gets him some bonus points and gets him up there a bit. But you know, I know there's a lot of different arguments you can make about where he should fall in the greatest of all time list.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'll put him in my top three. I think it's LeBron, Michael Jordan, Kobe. That's how I would do it. I've watched so much of LeBron's career, so I'm biased in that sense. Even though I have a love-hate relationship with him, you know what I'm saying, right now? Like right now, I understand why he left and all these things, but you know, I'm still upset about it. But,
Cleveland guy.
But LeBron is the best player that I've ever seen play. And obviously, you know, Jordan was like his career kind of ended when I was, you know, growing up 7, 8, 9 years old and everything like that. But yeah, I put LeBron, Jordan, Kobe. I think that's definitely the top three in my opinion. And just the killer that Kobe was, we're just never going to see that. That's a lot of what one thing that people say that LeBron lacks is that killer instinct that Kobe had and everything. I just want to ask you a couple more free agency questions, if that's all right. Oh, actually, one thing real quick that I thought was interesting. I was watching a game the other day, the New York Knicks, and Julius Randle was talking about, they were talking about Kobe. Interesting story. I'll try to cut it short, but he said that Kobe would always encourage him to, they were in Julius Randle's hometown one night when Kobe was playing his rookie year, Julius's rookie year, and he was getting ready to go out and see his family and everything like that. And Kobe was like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to hang out with my homies and stuff. And he's like, no, dude, you're coming to the gym with me to shoot around. And so he took him to this gym, had him shoot around, and then he got to go out and hang out with his family. Well, then, so because of that, Julius, every time he's on the road, he'll find a gym to shoot at. He'll find a basket to get in front of and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was in some location recently, and he asked a high school coach to open the gym up for him. And he goes, this is awesome that you're here, man, because the last NBA player to ask me to open up the gym for him was Kobe Bryant. And he said, no one else has done that since. And so I thought, yeah, I get chills just thinking about it, dude. You know, it's just an awesome story. And it's awesome to see how he still affected so many people in the league to this day. But just an awesome guy, gone way too soon, unfortunately. But I do want to ask you, I got a couple more free agency questions before we let you go, brother. You said that Alex Caruso is one of the most important free agent for the Lakers this year, I believe. And I just want to get, because a lot of people would not say that. You're probably one of the minority that thinks that. Can you tell us why you think that, and what do you think is going to happen with his free agency this year?
Sure, yeah. I mean, look, Alex Caruso, I mean, when he's got all the nicknames, right? The Bald Eagle, the Bald Mamba, Big Balder Brand is another one. He's great. You know, he's great. But the thing about him, he's one of these guys that is way more valuable if he's on a team with players that are better than him, right? Like if he's on a team with stars, he's really valuable. If he's asked to do the heavy lifting, he can't really do that. Mm-hmm. What he can do is play off of players very, very well. He makes smart cuts on the offensive end, and he plays very tough defense, very mistake-free defense. And that's why if you look at the Lakers' advanced metrics, you look at their net rating, it's LeBron James and then Alex Caruso.
Wow.
Right? And Alex Caruso is, we call him the plus-minus king because he is usually leading the team in plus-minus at the end of every game. He just makes winning plays out there on the floor. Again, if you are a team, if you're the Orlando Magic, say, and you're rebuilding and you want to go spend money on a player that's going to help take your franchise to the next level, it's not Alex Caruso. That's not what he's not. You're not going to give him the ball and say, here, take control of the offense. That's not him. But in the right system, he can be incredibly important on both ends of the floor, just with his ability to go out there and put himself in the right spot at the right time. And so in that way, Caruso is very, very important for the Lakers. He's very important for their defensive system. He's very important for everything they do because he just has that knack for making winning plays. The moment doesn't bother him. He plays the exact same way in October when the season first starts as in June when you're talking about the NBA playoffs. So he is a very important piece. A lot of people would point to, say, Dennis Schroeder as the most important free agent, but I think that keeping Caruso around is even above that.
I'm glad you mentioned Schroeder because that's actually who I was going to ask you about next. Do you get the sense that he's happy in LA, and where do you think he ends up next season? Does he stick around?
And did he turn down an extension during the season?
Yeah. I don't know what to think with Schroeder. It is so weird. I don't know if I've seen a situation quite like this before. And I don't know. We did a live show last night. One of my colleagues, Ryan Ward, brought up that maybe it's a language thing because Schroeder is German. And he constantly says how much he wants to be a Laker. Mm-hmm. Like he's even in his exit interviews, like it sounded like he was pretty much confirming that he's back or that he's going to be coming back.
Yeah.
But then you look at his actions and it just doesn't quite make sense. Mm. I mean, there was the story that came out from Ramona Shelburne the other day suggesting that There were people in the organization that were frustrated with Schroeder because of his play on the floor. They tried to trade him potentially to go get Kyle Lowry. He turned down the extension. We thought for a while, hey, this extension's going to get done. Schroeder keeps saying how much he wants to be a Laker. The Lakers want him around.
Right.
They're going to come to an extension. And he kept saying no. And finally, from what we know, and again, this is rumored, but from what we know, they finally said, here's the max. Here's the most we're allowed to offer you right now. And that was 4 years, 84-ish million. Wow. So you're talking about $21 million a season?
Right.
For Dennis Schroeder, yeah. Which is...
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And he said no with the reasoning being that he wants to go through the free agent process because he's never done that before. Okay. That's, to me, if I'm thinking about that, that's understandable, right? Why you would want to have that experience. But is that worth potentially over the next, like he turns it down in what, say February. So over the next 3-4 months, if you blow your knee out, that money's gone. Like, is it worth taking that risk that he took in order to get that experience of being a free agent? Or is it that he really wants to go somewhere else? Yep. And that's why he's not signing the extension. Just the actions don't match up with what he's saying. And so I don't know what to expect here. And obviously the Lakers don't either because they looked at trading him. So I have no idea where this goes now. There's not even that many landing spots for him in free agency out of the market, except for the Knicks as kind of the boogeyman out there that have plenty of cap space, but there's a number of targets they can chase after. So it's a weird situation and it could go any number of ways. And it's just so hard to predict at this point.
And who do you think are going to be some of the targets for the Lakers in this offseason? You said that they've got 10, they're going to try and retain a lot of their free agents and everything like that. But is there somebody that you can think of that could really help that team?
Yeah, I mean, for them, the name of the game is mostly going to be retention, keeping their own guys because of where they are in the salary cap structure. Most likely, they're going to have a taxpayer mid-level, so they're going to have like five-ish, a little bit more $1 million a year to offer. So that's not a lot to go out and get somebody. So because they can go over the cap to bring back their own guys, I think they're going to focus on bringing those guys back. But they will look to add some pieces. As far as a guy who's out there, there have been people who have been talking about, oh, Kelly Oubre Jr. Maybe they go after somebody like that. Doug McDermott, another wing, you know, players like that. Somebody who can come in and shoot the ball. I've even seen people mention former Laker Wayne Ellington.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Detroit Piston. Players like that, basically everybody's just looking at shooters. And that's what the Lakers are probably going to look at as well. But every team's looking for that. Yeah. Right? Every team right now is looking for guys who can shoot the ball and defend. So who they're going to get with it without a lot of resources, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. It's something where they're not going to be targeting the main guys out there on the market. Instead, they're going to be kind of sorting through the players once the dust settles that they can get to come for cheaper.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. Last question for you here, Trevor. Now that the Lakers are out of the playoffs, I want to get your finals pick and then who you see winning the finals.
For the finals, I think it's hard to pick against the Nets right now with how good they've looked on both ends of the floor. They've been doing some incredible stuff. I mean, right now, I believe this is still the case. They're shooting better than 50, 40, 90. In the playoffs as a team.
Damn.
As a team. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Right? So I can't pick against them. I think they win the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost James Harden and didn't miss a beat.
Like, didn't matter.
How many teams can do that? So I can't pick against the Nets right now. I think they make it all the way and win it from the East. From the West, I'm going to say Utah gets through.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice.
Especially if Mike Conley is healthy. Phoenix has looked great too. They could certainly get there. But I'll say Utah. I think the difference maker there being Rudy Gobert, the defense that he can provide. And then if Mike Conley comes back and he's healthy and he's good to go after that hamstring issue, he's a really, really nice piece to have deep in playoff runs, in close games. He's got that veteran experience. So I think that's going to be important for them moving forward. But I think whoever runs up against the Nets in the finals right now is going to be just running into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, I was telling Tony off air before we started the interview. I said, like, as long as two of their three top guys stay healthy, they're going to be fine. I mean, you said Harden came out. They didn't miss a beat. I'm going to be honest. I think KD's only really at 75-80%, and he's still damn good. He's still nasty as hell. Yeah. And him and Kyrie, I just don't – as long as they get two of those guys healthy, I don't see anyone beating them. But – stranger things have happened. You know, Utah and Phoenix both look really, really legit.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to play either of those guys. But I think it's going to be a great Western Conference Finals. It's going to be a great Finals. And it's nice to have a little bit of parity for a change. You know, we've had kind of the same teams for quite a while. I wasn't complaining when it was the Cavs, but now I'm pissed off. I want somebody else. I'm tired of the Cavs hoping on the lottery every year. You know, it's back to that for us now for the next 15 to 20 years unless we get Bronny on the team. You know what I'm saying? We'll see. But that's interesting. Trevor, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, man, this was super fun, super informative. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on. And one of the ways we're going to thank you, we're going to send you a bottle of whiskey in the mail. So Chad's going to email you and get your address. We're going to send you a bottle of this in the mail. It's from Still Austin. It's our favorite distillery in town. They're one of our sponsors. It's real good, smooth stuff. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Smooth. But just a small way to say thank you so much for your time, man.
Yeah.
And thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to need that to you know, help me get over the way the Lakers season.
Yeah, I was going to say, drink a bunch of that and then start posting on Twitter how sad you are that the Lakers are like, ah, man, this is bullshit. Rob Blanka needs to get out of here. Yeah, something like that. But Trevor, this is awesome. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. For everyone out there, give him a follow on social media. He's on Twitter at Trevor_Lane. That's TREVOR_Lane. Also, check out Lakers Nation on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Super, super popular site. They got great information. Trevor's a mainstay on there, and he's got great analysis as well. I was going through his Twitter before the show a couple days ago when we were preparing for the interview. He's got a bunch of awesome articles on there. Check out that Alex Caruso article as well. And he's got an article on there on THT as well. And we're going to be looking forward to hearing your thoughts after the finals, once we get into the draft and free agency and everything like that. We'd love to have you back on to talk some Lakers before the season starts as well, Trevor.
Yeah, sounds great. Happy to do it anytime. And again, thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks really for the time, appreciate man. It. All right, Tony, that was Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. That was such an interesting interview. So much awesome information in that interview because I know once the Lakers season ended, I couldn't wait to get an insider perspective on what went wrong, how they're going to fix it. What type of assets they have going forward. And a guy that's there every day watching that team, for him to analyze their needs and what went wrong this season is awesome to hear.
Yeah, man, we're really fortunate to have him on the show. He's really one of the best in the business. Really? So knowledgeable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Rattled stuff off so quickly. That dude knew his stuff, man.
Yeah, man. And put his opinions out there with no problem at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, really, really good, great guest.
Yeah, wasn't afraid to answer tough questions and everything like that. He didn't shy away from it. He wasn't being holding the water for the Lakers. He was willing to give them some criticism and talk about like what they needed to change and what went wrong this year. And he wasn't just being a fanboy and everything. He was giving an honest assessment of that team. And that's awesome to hear, man, from a guy that's lived that organization his entire life. You heard him say that, you know, he grew up with the Showtime Lakers, and some of his earliest memories are of watching those teams play and everything. You know, he watched Magic and all these other guys and Kobe and what that guy meant to him as a player and a person. It was awesome to hear, man. It's just great to get that type of perspective from someone that's plugged into one of the biggest franchises in sports.
Yeah, man. And that doesn't always happen, that the team that you're covering is also the team that you grew up rooting for. I think fans a lot of times just like assume that everybody that's covering the team is like a hardcore fan of that team. And nothing could be further from the truth. But it's cool in his case that he actually grew up watching the team that he's now covering. So, you know, there's a little bit of a Laker colors in his blood.
Yeah.
A little bit of purple and gold.
I think that helps, man, because you see how passionate he is about the Lakers organization and how much they mean to him. And but he's also, you know, he's not just going to be a fan and just say, oh, you know, they had a great year and everything and it was just unfortunate. No, he laid out laid the groundwork for what went wrong and how they need to get better, and it was awesome to hear.
He
is one of the best, so make sure you check him out, Lakers Nation.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I think we're one of the best sports shows out there, Chad. So how can people follow us?
You can find us on fucking everywhere, man. We're everywhere. Billboards near you, man. But no, man, you're gonna find this on your screen right now. We're at DMPCD Sports on all platforms, pretty much. Give us a follow. Please give us a review. Those things help big time when you review us, when you leave a few sentences and everything, words of encouragement. It helps us big time.
Comments on YouTube, thumbs up on YouTube if that's where you're watching it.
And you know, tell your friends, man. I had a couple people come up to me or text me this week and said they love the podcast and they've told other people about it. And then now those people are big fans now and everything. And so Yeah, I think we're doing pretty well, man. The charts speak for themselves, dude. We're doing great in the charts.
Yeah, absolutely, man. The show is doing well. We're going to continue to get great guests. Yeah. We're going to continue to step our game up to make sure the listeners are still enjoying the show.
Yeah, definitely. The streets love us, man. What can we say? Streets love us, man. Streets love us. We love the streets back, brother. Come on. Shit.
Chad, before we take it home here, can you tell folks a little bit about Oddshark?
Yeah. Oddshark is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks. Looking for statistics and trends for an upcoming game? Oddshark has that too. And the best part is that it's absolutely great.
In-depth expert analysis, stats, and numbers and trends to help you make the sharp game day picks. So whether you want to check out tonight's odds, maybe some of those boxing lines that we were talking about earlier, this week's hockey, basketball, NBA playoffs, or anything in between, maybe some futures. I like looking at NFL futures this type of year.
Yeah,
there's free agency action going on.
Yeah.
I love that. So if you want to check any of that stuff out, head on over to Oddshark and start thinking like a shark today.
Yeah, and that's Oddshark.com. I don't know why I always spell this out when we're right here. It's right here, dude. You know what I'm saying? Just if you can read accurately enough, it's pretty easy. You
bam.
Know? Bam, right there for you. But Tony, this is a great episode, man. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Nice work. And we'll hit you with another great guest next week, guys.
Yeah, yeah. So make sure you give us a follow on all the social media platforms. Tell your friends. Tell your mama and them. Let everybody know how much you love the show. And we'll see you guys next week with another awesome guest. For Tony, I am Chad. Have a great week, everybody. Peace.
Thanks for listening. You can find more episodes and all other Hot Pie Media originals baked fresh daily at our home on the web at hotpiemedia.com, the Hot Pie Media YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.